comes from the first chapter of the Gospel according to St. John, beginning with the 29th verse. Let's listen together for the word of the Lord. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. This is the one I meant when I said, 'The man who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.' I myself do not know him, but the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel." Then John gave his testimony.
Nothing's coming through the speakers.
"Come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him.
I would not know him except that the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, 'The man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is he who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. I have seen and I testify that this is the Son of God.' The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, 'Look, the Lamb of God.' Then the two disciples heard him say this. They followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus said to them following and asked, 'What do you want?' They said, 'Rabbi,' which means teacher, 'where are you staying?' 'Come,' he replied, 'and see.' So they went and saw where he was staying, and he spent the day with him. It was about the 10th hour. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, 'We have found the Messiah,' that is the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, 'You are Simon, son of John. You will now be called Cephas,' which when translated is Peter." This is the word of the Lord. Today is a big day. It's Super Bowl Sunday. Is anyone here going to watch the Super Bowl? Would you raise your hand if you're planning to? A few. As I think about the Super Bowl and I think about the past season, excuse me, and the number of football games I watched, there was one thing that really, really irritated me in each and every game I saw. It was the fist pumping, the "I am great, I am the best, whatever I do is perfect." That bothers me. There has no sense of team in that. It's the individual person saying how great that person is. You have been saved by grace, through faith, not by works. And that's a gift of God, lest anyone should boast. Scriptures tell us boasting is not a great thing to do. In fact, Paul says later that if you're going to boast, you need to boast of the Lord, not of yourself. A certain amount of humility seems to be required if one is going to be a follower of Jesus. Not praising oneself, but praising God. This morning, I wanted to talk to you about the means of grace. I have said to you many times that communion is one of the means of grace. But there are other means of grace. And if you don't have a strong United Methodist background, you might not know those. You see, it's important to know that we're saved by grace through faith. So, Instead of looking in my trusty book of discipline, I grabbed the book of Google this morning. And there's some information in here that's very accurate, and it might be a help to you. It's about the Wesleyan means of grace, one of which is the sacrament. John Wesley taught that God's grace is unearned. Not only is it unearned, you cannot earn it. I don't care how much money you have, what a great job you have, how much power you have, you cannot earn grace. That's hard sometimes to understand, and it's hard to just figure out, what then can I do? Well, basically, means of grace are works of piety, according to John Wesley, and works of mercy. And I want to read some of them for you. In fact, I think you'll find that you do some of them. And in fact, you'll find that you can't possibly do all of them. It's a matter of listening for God's will for you to understand what it is that you would be doing. Works of piety. Those are righteous, holy works, if you will. Reading, meditating, and studying the scriptures. Prayer, fasting. Does anybody fast anymore? I used to fast in Holy Week. Not for the whole of Holy Week. That's, you know, a long time. Told that I had diabetes, so you have to eat regular meals, so I can't do that anymore. Also, regularly attending worship, healthy living, and sharing our faith with others. Those are means of grace. And then communal practices, the things we do together. Regularly share in the sacraments, Christian conferencing, that means accountability to one another, and Bible study. Now, there are works of mercy, which are also means of grace. Individual practices of doing good works, visiting the sick, visiting those in prison, feeding the hungry, and giving generously to the needs of others. I think if you look around, you'll find that happening in this community. Doing good works, we have to be careful with that one. It's not doing good works to gain grace. It's that because of grace and the faith that it brings, we do good works. There's a big difference between doing good works to earn something and doing good works because it means something to us and to others. And then there are the communal works of mercy. Seeking justice, ending oppression and discrimination. For instance, Wesley challenged Methodists to end slavery in a time when that was not popular at all. In fact, slavery would not have been ended if it had not been groups like the Methodists and the new surging Congregationalist movement. Actually, slavery was ended because of people of faith. It was not a work done to earn God's favor. It was a work done because of God's favor and the love that God has for us. And also addressing the needs of the poor. There are other means of grace as well. But that's enough for you for today to grasp and try to figure out what part of that is for you. It's just important to remember that it's not about boasting. It's not about us. It's not about self. Someone once told me there's something very special about the Lord's Prayer. If you think about it, there is no I in the Lord's Prayer. It's a communal prayer. The prayer that we pray every Sunday is for all of us together. Our Father, all of them, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. I said, I don't know in that. It's we, us, ours. It's all of us. It's not boasting. When I watch the Super Bowl this afternoon, I'm going to turn my head every time I see somebody celebrating, demeaning another person. You see, that celebration is because one person has defeated another person. And that's not what God is about. And that's not what grace is about. You have been saved by grace through faith, not by works, lest anyone should boast. Grace, a gift of God given for you. This morning, the means of grace for this day is before us. It's the Lord's Supper. In this meal, we can find God's mercy, God's grace. I don't know how many times people have told me the first time they realized that they were forgiven was one Sunday at the altar receiving the Lord's Supper. People who have helped me serve communion have said the same thing. One of the means of grace. Baptism is the other sacrament that is a means of grace. I'm assuming that most all of you have been baptized. I'm guessing probably all of you have been baptized. By grace, you have been saved through faith. Not works, lest anyone should boast. For any boasting should be in the Lord. Boasting of the Lord. So this morning when we celebrate this meal, remember, it is a means of grace, but so is prayer, and so is sharing your faith, so is being in worship, so is caring for the poor and the hungry and the needy. All of those things come from your faith, given you by God's grace. To pray with me. Holy and righteous God, we know that we have all sinned and fallen short of your glory. And we are mindful that we need your love, your grace, to move from day to day. Fill our hearts and minds, O Lord, with that love and that grace, and help us to be the people you created us to be. In Jesus' name, amen.